From the heartland of America to every nation on earth, this is Jack Vanempe Presents The Truth in News and Commentary. Here now are Doctors Jack and Rexella Vanempe.
Hello and welcome to Jack Vanempe Presents. My, oh my, we have so much to share with you today. The first one is a very, very serious headline. Have today's churches lost their way? What a question. And four well-known leaders promoting Chrislam. Did you ever hear that word? Chrislam? This is really serious, friends. We're going to deal with that. And one world government, one world religion on the rise. Well, you've heard Jack talk about it, but we're really going to elaborate and show how it's rising right now. You know, so often Jack and I have talked to people as we've traveled into 50 countries and all across America and Canada and literally around the world, asking them questions. Well, the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life survey showed that Americans are not religion experts with the questions they ask, flunking Pew's pop quiz. Good thing the Last Judgment is not a round of Final Jeopardy. Well, you know, most folks said to us if we were to ask a question, like one of the first four books of the New Testament, they'd say, I don't know. That's their response to that. And you know, Jack, I know you found this so often when you've talked to people.
Oh, Rexella, the evangelicals who should know better, who should know their Bibles, flunked a 32-question test. They only made grades of 50%. No wonder Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. What do we do about 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth? Some of our brothers and sisters are so out of it that they believe that an apostle and an epistle were husband and wife like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, of course, some really know it. And they say, oh, yes, I know that story. Lot's wife was a pillar by day and a ball of fire by night.
Oh, dear. Oh,
we are really confused. Let's get into the book.
Oh, yes, let's get into the book. And certainly those are things that we can smile about. This was a great article in Christianity Today by Molly Hemingway. And she said only 16% of the people asked knew that salvation came through faith alone, faith in Jesus Christ
alone. God help us, 84% didn't.
All right, we're going to go on here. And you know, it's no surprise with what we're going to see at this next headline, the decline of Christian America. They don't know the Bible, all right? Will you be led astray? Will your loved ones be deceived? Going on with the next one, religion that goes down easy. Have today's churches lost their way? Oh, that's so sad. And mixing their religion. Many choose their faith from a spiritual buffet. Can we do that? So many believe, five members out of the church there believe that there was reincarnation. They could go that way. And again, here's the answer. Here's the answer. Dr. Charles Swindoll, preach the word. As I've often said, friends, everybody has an opinion. We can believe so many, many different things because we hear it over the television or radio. But what does the Word of God have to say? That's the answer. Jack, thank you so much for
Oh, I love that brother's picture you just showed us. Preach the Word. I love to hear him preach. He blesses my heart. But there are other guys I don't trust, and you're going to hear about it today. But let me tell you that I have to warn you because the one world government and the one world religion are the final two signs before Christ's return, and all the compromise is coming together now. It's called Chrislam, where we join Islam and Christianity together as one, and God forgive us, it's wrong, as we're going to see. And so God has called me to be a watchman, to warn people. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I've made you a watchman. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me, God says. Ezekiel 33:3, blow the trumpet and warn my people. Paul had a heavy heart, and he said in Acts 20:31, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Why are we to warn them? What's going on? Jesus said just before I return, false prophets are going to cover the world. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 5, 11, and 24, he said there should be false Christs and false prophets. Jeremiah depicts what a false prophet is in chapter 14, verse 14, when he said, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, and America's full of these false prophets, false preachers, false teachers, and God has never chosen them. And oh, how they confuse the public. Now, the Bible goes on to say that we are to try and test the spirits to see if they're of God, 1 John 4, verse 1. Why? Because 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2 says, there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. 21st century, it's here. And they'll bring in damnable doctrines, even denying the Lord Jesus who bought them. Oh, it's going on. And who's behind it all? 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. The Holy Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, some shall depart from the Christian faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of demons. Do you know that when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him and the fallen evil spirits in the heavenlies? And that's why we wrestle against evil spirits in high places, Ephesians 6:12, and it's these evil spirits that are indoctrinating the minds of some of our members of the clergy today to talk against the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, talk against the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to be speaking up for the Lord Jesus Christ. When 16% of those asked the way to heaven, they didn't know that it was faith in Jesus alone that would take them to heaven. Well, friends, what's causing all of this? A couple of weeks ago, we talked about doctrine in the churches. The pastors needed to be teaching doctrine. Is that what's causing the confusion,
Jack? Oh, it really is, Rexella. I heard a preacher on television say, I don't preach doctrine, I just preach Christ. Now, there are DDs given to members of the clergy, and it stands for Doctor of Divinity. But then there are some that get a DD, but it stands for Dodo. Take your pick. You listen to me preaching, you'll know what I'm talking about. But we preach doctrine every time we quote Scripture. Now, the doctrine of God the Father is called theology. Of Christ, Christology. Of the Holy Spirit, pneumatology. Of salvation, soteriology. Of the Bible, bibliology. Of the church, ecclesiology. And of everyday things that will soon come because Christ is about to return, eschatology. And God commands us to preach doctrine. Now, they were astonished at Christ's doctrine, Matthew 22:33. We need to follow him. Paul could say in 1 Timothy 4:13, continue until I come and hang on to doctrine. And then 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 to 4. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, when they like it, when they don't like it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they'll heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They'll want their ears tickled with niceties. And because of it, they shall err from the faith, and they shall be turned unto fables. And I have never seen such ignorance of God's holy word as we now are experiencing. Oh, how we need to live and practice doctrine.
That's right, Jack. Now, you've heard Jack speak so very often about a one world government. Is it really being formed right now? And I'd like you to take a look at this picture. Oh, look at those first two words, world government. Now, in this meeting, they established what they wanted, economic control. They also wanted international law. And Van Rompuy of the European Union said, the belief that countries can stand alone is a lie and an illusion. One world government. Wow. Take a look at Tony Blair. Of course, we all know who he was, from England. And then our own ex-president there, Bill Clinton. All right, those two formed an alliance on something else, a global religion. The drive to convince the world's religious leaders that all are teaching the same core principles advanced by leaps and bounds in 2010. Tony Blair's Faith and Globalization course, which began at Yale University, spread to other prestigious colleges around the world. Blair and former President Bill Clinton joined forces to educate the world's students in interfaithism by launching a program for grade schools and high schools called Face to Faith. Whoa, isn't that revealing? There you have it, a global religion and a world government, the last two great signs pointing to the return of the Lord, and they're happening already. We're going to show you in a moment how not to be afraid of what we're talking about. But, Jack, it's developing right now.
There's been so much fuss lately because of the man who preached the end of the world, and then we had so many of the ministers and people saying, oh, no one knows the day and the hour. Keep it in context. Start with verse 33 of Matthew 24. You will know when it's near. The Greek is, I command you to know when it's near, even at the door, but not the day and hour. Verses 33 to 36, combine them from now on. Can we know when it's near? Yes. We are to encourage one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25. How do we know when the day is approaching? Signs are here, and the final two signs before Christ comes happen to be a one world government and a one world church. Revelation 17:10 says there will only be seven world empires in history: Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome, and revived Rome, the European Union. And it will become a 10-division world empire. I used to say 10 nations, but that couldn't cause the world to come together with just 10 nations. So it's a 10-division world empire found in Daniel chapter 7, verses 7, 8, 20, 24, Revelation 12, 3, Revelation 13, 1, and Revelation 17, verses 3, 7, 12, and 16. And you know what led me to my change of mind? Rabbi Haggian, almost 2,000 years ago, said there will be in the last days a Gentile monarchy that will form, and they will create a 10-division world empire, and it will be the announcement that our Mashiach, Messiah, is about to come to earth. Wow. But then Jerome, who wrote the great Latin Vulgate, as a Catholic leader said, when there's a 10-division world empire, our Jesus will return to set up his kingdom upon earth. But wait, there's a world religious leader that goes with it. In Revelation 13:1, you have the one who rises up out of the sea of nations, and he is the infamous Antichrist. But in verse 11 through 18, you have the false prophet who serves with him. One world government, one world religion. And oh, Bishop Sheen told us what he thought would come. He said, there's a day coming when we will have a Christ without a cross. And we've got two leaders really promoting this hypocritical lie that we don't need the cross. Get rid of the cross. And I'll tell you, Jesus is about to come. And this one has the two horns of a lamb, typifying Christ because he's the Lamb of God, John 1:29, but he speaks as a dragon. So he's infiltrated by these seducing spirits who are proclaiming doctrines of demons, but he's a religious figure. There you got him. And these are the final signs, and we are gone when the two come to power.
Jack.
Gone.
Yes, yes. Well, we're going to be talking more about that in a moment. And I said we're going to tell you why you don't have to be afraid of what's happening in the world. We'll talk very much about the peace that God can give when you turn to Him. All right, friends, we're going to also be talking about reclaiming and restoring biblical Christianity, our offer of the week. Take a look at the preview.
America's greatest need is the reclaiming and restoring of biblical Christianity. Why? Presently, many ministers are attempting to eliminate the old-time religion. Doctrinal sermons have been replaced by self-esteem, psychobabble nonsense. Worse yet, contemporary services have turned the sanctuary and worship service into a circus sideshow featuring rock bands and oftentimes songs with meaningless lyrics. Let's restore the preaching of God's Word, the old hymns, the Ten Commandments, and God's demands for holy living. Let's turn away from practicing Hollywood's barnyard morals, covering every form of promiscuous sexual behavior. One prominent American minister presents the following rules to ministers for building a megachurch and pleasing the ungodly. Don't mention sin. Remodel the sanctuary to look like a nightclub or casino. Remove every cross inside and outside of the building. Don't give invitations to receive Christ. Who are America's and Christianity's false prophets? Why are they so popular and embraced? Order the new video, Reclaiming and Restoring Biblical Christianity, and find out.
Oh, friends, do not put off making the call. There is the number or the address. We're going to be sending you with your order a beautiful cross to wear and also this great pamphlet. It helps to explain some of the things on here. All your questions, reclaiming biblical Christianity. We need it, Jack.
And I'll tell you, you got an hour and 45 minutes, five of the regular type programs, loaded with information. Took me years to learn many of these things. And this cross is to stand against this man we're going to expose here in a moment who's trying to get rid of the cross.
All right, the cross is so very, very important. There's the number. Make the call right now. Friends, you know, as we've witnessed some of the destruction that's been happening with tornadoes and floods and all the rest, I can't help but compare what we're talking about today, the destruction of a biblical church. The destruction, there is a subtle compromise in our churches today. It's so subtle. And Bill Muhlenberg says it so very, very well. And there he is, of course. I'd like you to see what he has to say. A religion or same old apostasy? Chrislam. Now, don't forget that word, Chrislam. It's a term that may be used more often among apostate churches. Such syncretism of Christianity and Islam has its roots in the Common Word conferences that started a few years ago with Islamic and evangelical leaders sought to find a way to identify the common beliefs the two religions supposedly share. A decision made at the Common Word Conference was to set aside 1 week a year to promote the validity of each other's religion. Now, Presbyterians, Lutherans, and a host of other mainline churches are observing such gatherings. Can you believe what he just wrote about? Now, you know, Jack, he went on with something else that I think maybe you would like to read for us right now, if you will, and I'll put that on the screen, but very, very important.
This is documented, ladies and gentlemen. This past fall, several Christian churches around the country held joint services with Muslims in an attempt to solidify the perceived similarities of both religions. One Presbyterian church described how they had placed the Bible and the Quran side by side in their pew racks. Other evangelical leaders promoting such gatherings include Robert H. Schuller and Rick Warren. Schuller was a speaker for the Common Word Conference, while Warren spoke at an Islamic event in Washington, D.C. last year. Wherever Chrislam or its equivalent are promoted, Christians should run for their spiritual lives, and I'm really going to spend time on both of these men for the entire program next week.
All right, let's take a look. Of course, we all know who Robert H. Schuller is. Now, this is the father, not the son, but the father. And we all know Rick Warren. He's written a couple of books. We're going to talk about that. And here he is. Warren keeps faith at Islamic conference. Now, he spoke at their Society of North America, and the presence of one of the USA's most prominent religious leaders was a huge boost to U.S. Muslims. Now, let me just say, can we really put them together? Can we really put them together? How about it, Jack?
Rexella, next week I'm going to deal with Rick Warren's 24 points on how to build a purpose-driven church. 10 of them are so against the Word of God that he's probably destroying a couple thousand verses of God's holy word, and I will not let it go by. I've got to be true to God. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar, Romans 3:4. And if I please men, I would not be the servant of God, Galatians 1:10. And I'm going to be true to God. Now listen, here's why we can't work together, and I've promised God I would do this number of times this year, because Christians in America and the world do not know who the prophet Jesus of Islam is. And they all say the same thing. Oh, we love Jesus like you. He's our prophet. Wait a minute. The first thing they teach is that when Jesus returns with Mahdi, the Messiah of Ahmadinejad of Iran, who says he's got to kill the Jews for his Mahdi will come. Well, Jesus comes back with him as his chief lieutenant. And Christ says to the world, I've become a Muslim since I left. I faked it. I was not God or a deity. I did not die on a cross. He said, in fact, I want you to know I'm so ashamed of what I taught about the cross that I've come back to crush and smash every cross in existence. And he said, furthermore, I will be the chief executioner of all Jews and Christians who will not become Muslims. And if you don't believe that is true, then there's Sheikh Kabbani, who is the founder and chairman of the Islamic American Council, who said, that is what we plan, that this Christ, our prophet, Jesus, will put to death the Jews and the Christians who won't convert. How can you work two religions like that together? And I'm going to warn the world over and over, because that's what they teach. And it's about time we knew, and about time we got out of those racks at the church, the book of theirs and ours combined. It's wrong. Why? Because my Bible says so plainly, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of Christ, which you've received, and avoid them. You get what God has to say? 2 John 1, verses 9 to 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not the doctrine of Christ hath not the Father. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If there come any into and bring not this doctrine of Christ, don't even let him into your house, let alone into your church service. Obey God. Rexella, read one of his points. We're going through all of them. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the whole program will be about Schuller and Rick Warren, because we're standing for this book.
Yes, so you know I have several things right here that, of course, Rick Warren wrote about that we should do if we want to become a mega church, we want to be big. But one of the things that hurts my heart so much is this one. Crosses and other traditional Christian symbols may be moved, removed from both the inside and outside of the church. That hurts my heart. That's what my faith is all about. My Savior dying for me. He's not a prosecutor or a murderer. He's the Savior. He's your Savior, right, Jack?
40,000 or more ministers are following this man. Are they so blind they can't see it's wrong to remove the cross of Jesus out of the church or in front of it? Thank God for the Shrine of the Flower over here, the great Catholic church where Jesus has been there for maybe almost 100 years. Thank God. But these Protestants, some of them, let's destroy the cross. Now, what's behind it? Muhammad hated the cross. And he smashed everyone he could find. So now that Jesus is a Muslim, he sends Christ to smash all these crosses. And I told you, it's heresy. Our Jesus is not in that crowd. Now, listen to me. He made peace, Jesus did, through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Why? That we might be in heaven. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:18. Obama goes over to a great Catholic university, and as Bishop Sheen said, we will have some in our church who will have a Christ with a cross. And Obama's crowd said, cover the cross, before Obama will speak. I wonder if he got that from Rick Warren. A lot of preachers are doing it. Let me quickly say one more thing. Paul could say in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory in anything but the cross of Jesus, even though verse 12 says there'll be persecution for the cross. God forgive you, Rick Warren. And let's really find out other things he's teaching. Hundreds of verses being violated in this precious book. Next week.
Oh, yes. Jesus died on the cross that we might have eternal life. The Son of God came for you. He came for me. The cross is real. He's the Savior of the world. Never compromise that. He wants to be your Savior. He wants to save you from whatever mess you're in. He wants to give you eternal life. Jack, will you show our people how to be saved? Open their hearts to the Lord and accept Him as Savior.
Oh, precious Jesus, we're sorry the way they're defaming you and taking away the cross on which you died to save us. Lord Jesus, I know that what you did on the cross is you shed that blood and all your suffering and agony and heartache was to take my sin away from me, and you bore it in my place. Lord Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you for your love. And today I receive it and receive you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart now. Save me forever. I pray it in your holy, beautiful name. Amen.
Amen. Ooh, doesn't that feel good to know you've been forgiven of everything in your life you don't want there? Write to me. I'll send you this little booklet, First Steps in a New Direction. God bless you. And now here's our announcer to tell you how you can receive our offer of the week. Chuck?
My friend, to order your copy of Reclaiming and Restoring Biblical Christianity on DVD or VHS, have your credit card ready and call toll-free 24 hours a day, 1-800-JVI-7777. To order by mail in the U.S., send your donation of $24.95 to Jack Van Impe Ministries, Box 7004, Troy, Michigan, 48007. In Canada, send your donation of $24.95 to Jack Van Impe Ministries of Canada, Box 1717, Postal Station A, Windsor, Ontario, NINA6Y1. And now back to Rexella.
Thank you so very much, Chuck. And let me just encourage you, please, there is the 800 number and there's the address. It is important that you understand exactly what biblical Christianity is. And Jack explains it so well. Hey, this will be with it too, the wonderful little cross. And now I just want to say that we do have an answer to our problems and our troubles, don't we, when we turn to the Lord? When trouble is deep-seated and long-standing, try kneeling. How very good. Trust the Lord. We're going to look forward to being in your home again next week. Until then, remember, God cares for you. So do we so very much. Bye-bye.